What does Jesus mean when he says that we need to be overcomers? Well, that's what we're going to discuss in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I am so glad that you've tuned in today. One of the reasons is because our current series is based on a book that I wrote called Eternal Rewards. Bob and Sean generously invited me to come to the studio and discuss this book with them. Let's go right to our discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show. This is Grace in Focus, and I'm in the studio here with Bob and Lucas Kitchen. Usually, Lucas introduces our show, but he is a Christian writer in his own right. Can I say that?
A writer in his own right. Right is spelled differently than
yeah,
right.
But he's a... And I shouldn't qualify that. He's a Christian writer, period. He's written more books than both of us.
And he's like, what, 18 years old?
He's like 16 or something. I'm not quite sure how old he is.
He's 17 books in 16 years.
But his
how old are you, 35 or
35
something?
35 or 36.
You it's can't remember?
Okay, not sure.
Well, that's
I was born in the
what,
last part of 82, so okay. Whatever that would make it.
So his newest book is Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey. And it's not just a book. It's actually a study package. There are videos that go with this. There is a study book that goes with this. One of the things here at GES that we haven't been very strong on is putting together study materials that can be used in a small group, but Lucas is ahead of the curve on that, and you should pick up this book, Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey. You can get the book at our website, faithalone.org, or you can get the whole package at his website, simplybelief.com. So we're talking about eternal rewards, how major a theme it is in Scripture. One of the ways that it shows itself as a major theme in Scripture is through this idea of Christians called to be overcomers in the world.
Right. And overcomer is a word we don't use a lot in English, but movies like Rudy, the undersized football player from high school who goes to Notre Dame and makes the team, that is an overcomer movie. Or Rocky, the Rocky series. An overcomer is somebody who overcomes some adversity. For the Christian to be called an overcomer is appropriate because don't we have a lot of adversity in this life? I mean, Christians have the world, the flesh, and the devil to contend with.
Right. And there's no guarantee, is there, Lucas, that we'll be overcomers?
Yeah, absolutely not. I think a lot of people teach it that way, that they'll take a few verses that talk about what happens when we believe, and they'll say that we obviously have overcome all challenges because we have salvation. But that's just not what we see in Scripture. In fact, what we notice is that over and over, Scripture instructs people to fight, to work at being an overcomer. And if it was automatic, there wouldn't need to be an instruction. What Paul said in Romans 12:21, he says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And so what he seems to be pointing at there is that you are either going to be an overcomer in a particular circumstance, or you're going to be overcome in that particular circumstance. Those circumstances over a long period of time build up. We ultimately will be either an overcomer or not an overcomer. And it's a harsh sort of phrase, but I use it in the book, that we will either be Christian winners or Christian losers.
So is this a salvation issue? Do we need to overcome in order to be saved?
The way that I would put it is the opposite of what you just said. You need to be saved in order to overcome, but you don't need to overcome to be saved.
So this is what we're doing, is we're relating this overcoming theme with the theme that we've been exploring in this series, and I hope that you listen to prior episodes and on iTunes, Stitcher, at our website. Overcoming is a rewards concept.
Yes, in a sense, it's the key to who gets reward. It is overcomers who are rewarded. In fact, we see that especially in the first few chapters of Revelation. Now, later, we're going to talk about what those rewards are in Revelation, but I think it's worth taking a look at some of the overcomer passages that show up as John was writing to the seven churches and ultimately to us to encourage them, to motivate them by saying, I want you to be overcomers, and here's what you get if you do. Here's an example of one that I really love in Revelation 3:21. It says, to him who, what's that word? Overcomes. Yeah. I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And notice this is a conditional statement.
Right.
This isn't anybody that is saved, anybody that believes is going to share my throne with me. No, he's saying there is a wonderful reward, and it has to do with intimacy. It has to do with reigning with Christ. And what do you have to do to get it? You got to be a Nike Christian. You got to be an overcomer.
What is that, Nike Christian? What does that mean?
Yeah, the Greek word is nikao, the verb, and the noun is Nike. Nikao means to overcome or to be victorious, and Nike means to be a victor or a winner, and the Greek goddess of victory was called Nike.
Yeah.
And so they named the company Nike after the Greek goddess of victory.
And you know what's interesting about that to me is that I could buy Nike brand stuff and still be a terrible athlete.
Yeah.
And so need to be thinking about not just what do you look like on the outside, but it also has to do with are you overcoming on the inside? Are you overcoming in your thought life? Are you overcoming in the way that you see people, the way that you think about the world around you? Christ gave lots of great direction on how we even direct our thought life. And so overcoming is not just about our external experience, but it's also about what goes on inside.
It sounds like overcoming might be connected to spiritual maturity, which in turn would mean that growing in the Christian life is conditional. You could definitely not grow. You could be a loser Christian.
It makes me think of the way that we write laws in our judicial system. We don't need a law that tells us to breathe. We don't need a law that tells us to eat. We're going to do those things automatically. What we need laws for and instructions on is the things that don't happen automatically. And I think the same concept carries through with what Paul did, what John did when they were writing the letters to the early church. They focused on things that weren't automatic. If the New Testament is filled with instructions on how to overcome, we can assume just by nature of there being instructions, it's not going to be automatic. It's something that we have to fight for, something that's going to be hard work.
Well, what are some examples, Bob, in Scripture of non-overcoming Christians?
Well, there's lots of examples. Solomon, of course, was the author of multiple books of Scripture, and yet 1 Kings 11 tells us he died as an idolater. Some people think, well, that means he wasn't born again. No, he was born again, but he failed. And some people say, well, Old Testament failures don't count. Well, you come to the New Testament, and you have in 2 Timothy 4, where Paul talks about Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And yet Demas was mentioned in several of his other epistles in the closing verses as one of his trusted co-workers. Here's a born-again man who, at least as 2 Timothy is ending, is a failure. Now, maybe he turned it around. We don't know. We also have examples in 1 Timothy 1 and 2 Timothy 2 of a guy named Hymenaeus. Hymenaeus and Alexander in one, and Hymenaeus and Philetus in the other. And it says that they've departed from the faith and they've overthrown the faith of some. And the way they departed from the faith was saying the resurrection had already occurred. Now, we don't know if they denied any other fundamental truths of Scripture, but they did deny bodily resurrection. Or they denied that it was yet future. They were saying it had already occurred. And so there are examples, and there would be lots of other examples of 1 Corinthians, for example. In 1 Corinthians 11:30, they were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, and Paul says, because of this, some of you sleep, and some are sick.
You know, if I was getting drunk, I feel sleepy afterwards,
no,
too.
No, he means
dead. I think
that's
dead. Just normal.
He means, as they say in Georgia, dead.
Oh.
They were physically dead, but spiritually they're with the Lord.
That's a lot of grape juice, Bob. I mean, how much grape juice do you have to drink to get?
No, the Lord took their life. It wasn't that they died of a drug overdose. They died because the Lord took a... I don't know, Sean, but hang with me. You're going to get this.
All right.
And my point
I'm trying to follow, but...
These guys weren't real spiritual.
Oh, yeah.
Most of them were carnal. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, you're babes in Christ. They'd been believers for 5 years. They were still babes in Christ. The ones who died certainly weren't more mature than the ones who still lived. So these were baby carnal Christians who died because they were misusing the Lord's Supper. There are other examples in both the Old and the New Testament of people who failed. But the biggest issue, and everybody sees this, is all the warnings in Scripture. There are scores of warnings of Scripture not to fall away. If you take those warnings as meaning anything, they mean you or I could fall away.
Right. You know, I was just reading an article by a Baptist pastor. I read this extremely liberal Baptist newspaper. I'm not gonna name it. But there's an article by a Baptist pastor, and he said, I think it's about time that we start reevaluating sex outside of marriage. We should try to see how it could be a blessing to teens and teenagers and people who are in other types of non-marital relationships, and how God can use that and bless it. And I was just thinking, this guy better watch out when he steps outside, because he might fall asleep for being a false teacher.
Yeah.
But I would consider, like him, and probably the people who sympathize with him, as people who are not overcoming. They're like a dead fish just being swept away by the currents of the world.
James says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for as such we will incur a stricter judgment. James 3:1. There's an example. We need to be real careful. And on this show, we take that to heart because we realize that we're going to be held accountable at the judgment seat of Christ for what we're saying. And isn't it ironic that here we are talking about the judgment seat of Christ and eternal rewards, and yet we know while we're talking that everything we're saying is going to be coming up at the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah. It's kind of sobering.
We'll either be overcome by evil or we'll overcome it. You know, and it makes me think of this way that a pastor that I really love, Bob Bryant, teaches overcoming. He says that we will all face challenges. There'll be spiritual challenges. There'll be physical challenges. There'll be faith-related challenges. And the question is, will we overcome them? And I think when we put it in that context, when you think about what is the challenge that you face today? Are you facing laziness? Are you facing sin and lust, what you look at on the internet or whatever it is, whatever challenge you face today, you have the opportunity to either overcome it or be overcome by it. And if you want that amazing reward that Christ offers, then you need to aim for victory, aim for overcoming in each situation. And over time, through the Lord's power and your consistency, then you may just one day find that you are an overcomer.
That is great, Lucas. Victorious Christian living, it's possible, but it's not guaranteed. So strive to be one who is found faithful.
I'd like to offer a big thanks to Sean and Bob for letting me sit in on that great discussion. I know that I enjoyed it. Now, you might be interested in going deeper on this subject of eternal rewards. Many have never heard or discussed eternal rewards. I want to offer you a great way to go deeper. If you come over to our website, faithalone.org, that's faithalone.org, you can get your own copy of the book by clicking on the store and purchasing a copy. In addition to this, we have lots of free resources ready for you right there on the site. You can get a free subscription to our beautifully laid out print magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. Get a subscription and it will show up right in your mailbox. In addition to this, I'd suggest that you get subscribed to the podcast version of this show. Also, I think you ought to get subscribed to our daily blog posts. Another thing that you can do on the site, which really helps out our ministry, is become a financial partner. Every gift is both tax deductible and incredibly appreciated because it helps us keep the lights on and continue doing the work that we're doing. Well, next time on the program, we're going to discuss Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and how it relates to gaining eternal rewards. Thanks for listening. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.